to FIU's Tech Conversations, presented by the Florida International University Radcliffe Art and Design Incubator, now in season 5, and we are still celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. I want to welcome in a friend, someone that I met many years ago at Univision, and that is completely inspiring and a lot of fun to talk to. I want to welcome in Frances Rios, founder and CEO of Women Who Lead. Bienvenida.
Hola, Maggie. What a pleasure to be on camera again with you.
Thank you so much. Likewise. I mean, I've been connecting with you. I know you've been promoting a lot of different things, and I'm happy to see that you're thriving. And happy that you came on to support the podcast since I'm co-hosting. So thank you for supporting another female.
Thank you. No, thank you. We have to do the work when it comes to promoting the inclusion of women at all levels in organizations, and also to help men understand how can they become as well allies of women. Because at the end of the day, when women are in the top tiers of organizations, companies and organizations do better financially.
Completely agree. And, you know, I currently work at a company that is founded by a woman, and she's a minority. And so I'm proud to be part of a startup that is founded by another female. And I've had some great male leaders, mentors that I still connect with to this day. One of them we have in common. And I think it just is a matter of individuals learning what, you know, other individuals need to grow. So let's kick off the podcast and let's talk about something that is in your bio and that I want to set the tone for. Mm-hmm. So many years ago, your boss came to you and said, you know, I hired a man for a role. And I think your first question was, you're reporting to him, why not me and why him? So let's kick it off there.
Sure. And that's the base of everything I do today, I do nowadays. I remember I had to battle against the antitrust law in Puerto Rico on behalf of my former employer. I was battling other crises. At the end of the day, I was able to convince the governor, House, Senate, and over 50 CEOs not to allow those laws to pass. So after that, that company was in a great position to make hundreds of millions of dollars. And I remember that after I won all those battles, my boss took me aside and he told me, hey, Frances, after this big win that we had, and I was like, we? He never moved a finger, but I was like, yeah, whatever. He told me, so, you know, this whole situation made me realize that I needed to have a government affairs department. That's why I just hired a man, because that's a manly position, and you will stay in PR because that's a girly position, and you will be reporting to him.
Wow. And your response was probably, did you blank out or did you respond?
I had one tear coming down off my cheek. I put my sunglasses, and I remember that I went to the Mexican telenovela that I watched for so many years with my abuelita, where the martyrs are like, oh, why me? And that's what I replied, why me? Instead of speaking in numbers and telling him, after I got this, and after we got this, and after this result, and after these numbers. But we were raised to be quiet, not to complain. So then after that, I went through a big depression because I thought that I was not good enough. I was ashamed where people were going to think. And then one day I remember, you know what? I'm gonna create my company. But also before that, after winning all those wars, or battles, right before that conversation, I remember, Maggie, waking up one day and saying and thinking, oye, Frances, you've helped this company make hundreds of millions of dollars, and you don't know how to even balance your check. You don't know anything about your 401k. What's wrong with you? And the other thing that I discovered, Maggie, is that also because of the way we were raised, Women don't talk about money. Women don't negotiate their salary when they get an offer. And that's why we are always behind men when it comes to equal pay. And that's why we stay behind them throughout our careers. So it's time for women to reclaim their power over their money, their careers, their businesses, and their life.
So there's an article that came out this week. It says Latinas will not reach pay equity with white men until 2207 if current trends persist. How do we break the trends?
By doing this, for example. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to bring a wake-up call that being shy, don't daring, it's a thing of the past. Forget about your abuelita and what your mother did. Nowadays, we are in equal opportunities, but the equal opportunity is not going to be offered. We need to do like men. We need to grab the opportunities. And let me give you a couple of ideas. There is a presentation, and then women say, "Ay, Frances, I don't like to do presentations. I get nervous. Let's do something. I'm better creating the whole thing and making it very pretty, and then Pablo can give the presentation." So Maggie, who's gonna get the credit for the presentation?
Carlos.
Carlos, ¿verdad? Then Carlos, he's eager to grow just like she is. But what happened? Since they were raised, the boys, to conquer, to go after what they want, to become great providers, family providers, they go and ask. They don't care if they're ready or not. But pay attention to this. When we were kids, we were told that we couldn't ask a boy to dance at the dance party. And women are always waiting for the boyfriend or their partner to kneel, open the Tiffany box, and propose. We still see it on TV, and Instagram is full of that. Because we are always, and we were raised to always give the power to others about our decisions. And when we go to the corporate world, to the workforce, we are sitting, looking pretty, working long hours, waiting for someone who look at us and say, "Oh, she's a great fit." No. You need to be as assertive as guys are and ask for job opportunities until you get them.
Amazing. I mean, I think we've all been a victim of being overseen. I mean, having been in an oversight situation where, you know, it's between two people or there's two people in the group and they share similar hierarchies and, you know, a male gets promoted over a female or is considered over her. And I think the question is, and it happened in one of the workplaces, I remember that the person that happened to went straight to the boss and said, "Why not me?"
What was the response, Maggie?
So at the time, the response was, "We just want to keep one person and we want the person to be the male lead." And they also told the reporter, it was a reporter situation. It was a newscast with two people, that the person was better at doing more investigative and political stories. But to me, that was just, honestly, the person that made that decision is no longer in a leadership role, which says a lot. It took a while for that person to get out of it. But I also felt that, you know, other females had also gone, not only to this person, but leaders in that organization and other organizations, and felt that they had been, you know, that there was an oversight, you know, of why, you know, why him and not me. And I think it's a repeating trend. That's why I said, how do we end that trend where there's equal pay and there's equal consideration of females and minorities in general? We're not just talking about women. I want to shift gears too, because we could be here all day.
Let me tell you something, Maggie. I'm not a feminist. I'm a capitalist. I just want companies, women and men, to make money equally. But in order for women to do that, they cannot wait for Prince Charming to come with the crystal shield and propose. They need to sell themselves in money, in results, not in, oh my God, I have worked so much. No, you need to sell yourself in numbers, money, and results.
No, correct, correct. And I think that's the basis always for saying, hey, this is why, you know, I deserve XYZ because I did ABC. So let's shift it over. How do we help businessmen be inclusive leaders? You also developed Men Who Lead. Let's talk about that side of the story.
Not everyone, every man is like my former boss, Ignacio. I have had great, incredible men supporting me. And every year when I have the event, the W Certified Company, when we choose the best employers in Puerto Rico that promote inclusion of women, not just simply better employers, but the ones preferred by women. I was getting every single year lots of company presidents. And every time I had conversations with them, another male, they are always telling me, Frances, I don't understand women. And it's very funny and interesting because women outside the workforce, they're always complaining that their spouses, that men don't understand them. Do you remember the movie, What Women Want?
Yes, of course. Who
you
can
remember
forget?
that?
Yes.
Well, he had to be electrocuted in order for him to have this special powers to listen and understand what women wanted, need, and feel.
Yes.
And we created this program because women, yes, women have been in the workforce since the 70s. But still, since then, they haven't get the mail. What's something very simple and obvious for you is not for them. So this program is about me personally coaching and working together with C-level company presidents so that they can understand what they need to do to promote the inclusion of women. If the CEO of a company is not the number one promoter, nothing is going to happen in the company. It's like I see major banks. I was recently at Latitude, and they were like, yeah, because the CEOs from the major banks in the US where they're sitting. Yeah, I have a business. I speak in Spanish in my office. And I went to my cell phone and there were no leaders. It was probably the administrative assistants. That's not inclusion. Okay. And then I have a program for the president CEOs. And we have another course very to the point, it was created for men. It's a different learning style. And it's for them to get the aha moment on how they can transform their mindset and the way they lead in order then again to attract, retain, engage, and promote the best female talent.
Excellent. I mean, I think we need that. And it's good that, you know, CEOs ask that question, you know, how can I be more inclusive of my female leaders, my female employees, in a time where there is such a focus on really being inclusive and really having a balance of leaders across every company.
And the thing is, like, nobody has a program like this. I have been looking around the world and there is no such thing, because after 16 years of the company working directly with women, and after 9 years working with W Certified, listening, surveying what they want, feel, and need, now I'm in a great position to tell them, hey, dude, this is how they feel. Hey, you're not a businessman anymore. You're a leader, an inclusive leader. There is a difference.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the role of technology. Because in the kind of the things that you help women build and do and get over that hump, if you want to call that, I guess during the pandemic, it became a challenge for you to be able to be in person. How did you really handle you know, these seminars and these summits that you do while facing these COVID restrictions?
It goes beyond COVID, because we have to also think or remember that I was in Puerto Rico when Hurricane Maria devastated the island. So when that first shock happened to us, I stayed like for a year and a half without basically clients in Puerto Rico because they were looking for their employees and they were trying to survive without electricity, without people, without anything whatsoever. So during those times, I didn't stop my business in another way. I helped two women who lead summits there. People were desperate to go out, to connect, to get disconnected. So while nobody was doing events, I told myself, now it's when they need me the most, and I was there. And then when COVID hit, it was also the same situation. Women, I remember doing the survey that I do, and women were destroyed emotionally, physically. A huge amount had to decide alongside with their spouses who was going to stay at home taking care of the kids. And since their spouses, their male spouses, are the largest breadwinners in their homes, they decided for the husband to go out and work and for them to stay at home, either focusing only on the kids, leaving their careers behind, or working and taking care of the kids. So it was those two moments that I really understood that I needed to be there, that my goal in life, my mission in life, that is to help women rewrite their financial destiny, had to be proven there and give them hope and a map on how to stay sane and how to move forward.
Amazing. Do you want to talk about some of the upcoming events that you have with Women Who Lead?
Yes. Okay, and the reason that I was also able to do that is that you need to have clarity. Since I was in seventh grade, I knew, Maggie, that I didn't want to have kids. I knew that I was going to devote my life to my career, and I knew that I was going to be a globetrotter, a traveler. And that's what I have now. And that's why I was able to devote my life during those two very hard times to my women and people. Right now, we have been creating new solutions. The Women Who Lead Summit, the second one, it's my 10th because I moved that to Miami. But it's my second one in Miami. It's going to be held March 1st, 2024. And the focus is how to help you maximize your time, how to save energy, and how to make more money with the power of AI. So you have to be
amazing.
There.
And I have I'm to launching, be there.
Yeah, and I'm launching a book now in Puerto Rico. It's the Women Who Lead book. I have 21 female presidents from the major largest companies in Puerto Rico, and it's going to come to Miami next year. So stay tuned.
So let's shift gears a little bit, because I know before we started recording the podcast, like I do with all our guests, I have a little bit of a talk with them. Let's talk about the children's book that you wrote. Tell me how long ago you wrote that, and just quickly tell us what it's about. Because as you know, in the kid streaming service that I manage, we have a show that has won several important awards already. And I'm always looking to see what's a great story to tell, not only about women, but just in general about leadership. And I felt that what you were telling me about the book is very much in line with some of the things we try to promote within the service of Canela Kids. So I'll leave it to you.
When I had to move to Orlando after Hurricane Maria, I had to start from zero. And I had the wonderful opportunity to be closer to my niece, who back then she was 5 years old. And even though her mother is a pediatrician, her dad is also a doctor, we are all professionals in the family, She was a very, an extremely shy girl. So I knew that I had to change that, because grit and to be out there, it's something critical to attract the attention of opportunities. And I remember that I said to myself, you know what? I think that the best opportunity to help her is by writing a book for her. So it's Sofía la Valiente, Sofía the Courageous, and the 5 superpowers that her auntie gave her. When I was blonde, this is Sofía, which now is 11, and my dog may rest in peace. And we talk about concepts that she needed big time, how to give to others. So in the book, we talk about our family tradition of feeding homeless people that day before we eat. How honesty and integrity is critical. So through this book, she was able to understand and get the core values that every family should transfer to their kids. Not every single kid has family focused on the values that they're gonna pass. So this book is about helping every single kid, boys and girls, how important is hard work, how important is to be unique, how critical is to be a leader, how critical is to adapt. So then again, the funny thing is, like, you will have my family here, my parents who are there, you have everyone. So this is a family book from my family to the kids' families as well.
We love it because we try to make everything about, not only about the kids' experience, but also the family and co-viewing experiences, the togetherness, and very much in line with, you know, Hispanic culture. So I think it's a great book, a great idea. I had no idea that you had written that until you mentioned it now. I guess I must have missed it or seen it at some point and then forgotten about it. I don't know how I missed that one.
So many things. I have lunch already. 3 books. I'm launching the one in Puerto Rico, and next year we're going to be launching 3 other books, also in Spanish and in English. So I'm always, Maggie, and this is, I guess, my core message. When you have a clear, defined goal or mission in life, you start understanding the problems, and then you start creating solutions. And life is about that. It's about creating solutions and creating something bigger than you by yourself.
So I want to, as we wrap up the podcast, I want to bring up something that a few years ago when I met you at Univision, I know you told one of the talents, I think at that point they were asking, you know, that, you know, they just got married and, you know, the things that go with getting married, you're conditioned to do things. You've been conditioned to think a certain way of how things should function. And I felt that you gave her some great advice that stuck with me. I know you didn't even remember when I told you prior to the podcast, probably, but it stuck with me because you said it in such an affirmative way, a confident way. You said, listen, the first thing that you need to do is just clear your mind from all these things and really focus on what you want, you know, what you want, right? Not what you've been conditioned to do in ABC order. Because I think, you know, coming from a Hispanic, you know, background too, you know, I was told, don't do this. This is what you need to do. This is the way it needs to be done. And, you know, a lot of has changed from the time of our grandmothers. You know, you and I are around that same age bracket. You know, we have really been a witness to a technological revolution. I mean, when we were in school, we didn't have Zoom, we didn't have Teams, we didn't have online learning, things that I wish would have existed in that time. And we didn't have what this podcast is, you know, was funded by, and the founders, the Radcliffe Foundation. You know, there wasn't an incubator. These incubation centers, I think, are key. They develop, you know, entrepreneurs. They give creativity and freedom for people to come to these centers, you know, and really not be tied to getting a letter grade, but just developing a project all on your own with an incentive. And I wish that more of these things existed around the world for students right now. I wish it would have happened when I was a student there.
Yes, me
too. Of course. So I guess my question is, you know, for parting words, as we close out the podcast, you know, what do you tell these young entrepreneurs that are out there that are looking to be inspired, you know, because a startup is not easy and it doesn't matter, you know, there's grants out there and there's companies that offer incentives. You know, what is your advice to an entrepreneur that has an idea that really wants it to develop? From Frances Rios.
Wow.
Especially a woman, because, you know, I think as women, we probably struggle more, as you said, trying to be given the credit, be exposed out there, really be seen as an agent of change.
First of all, I think that, I remember my abuelita telling me, dime con quien andas y te diré quien eres. Tell me with whom you're walking around or hanging, and I'll tell you who you are. And I used to twist my eyes and I was like, yeah. And nowadays I have a wonderful network of people who support me and I support them. ¿Cómo que se llama esto? There is an expression.
Blanked out.
Debbie Downer. I make sure that the people who I surround myself with are at my same level when it comes to knowledge, aspirations, and or even, you know, out there. Maggie, were you ever able to meet Joaquin de Posada?
Yes, of course. Yes, I met him.
Okay.
Yes, I know he's no longer with us. You know, it's a shame that, you know, he passed away a few years ago. Yes.
Joaquin de Posada, for those of you who don't know who he was the number one Hispanic speaker around the planet, around the globe. And I remember that after I left my last company, my last employer, I wanted to create my company and I wanted to become a speaker, but there were no international speakers in Puerto Rico. So I remember every single day saying, oh my God, I wish I could talk to him, but he's not gonna call me back. Oh my God, I wish I could talk him up, but his assistant is not gonna give him my message. Oh, I wish. Until one day I said, you know what? I'm gonna call his office. I'm gonna talk to his assistant. I'm gonna make sure that he falls in love with me so that she can give him the message so that he calls me. Wow, there were no LinkedIn, no Zoom, no nothing. No LinkedIn, no nothing, Maggie. So that day I took a shower, I put my makeup on, perfume, I got dressed, I had my script, I stood in front of the mirror, and I made the call. And suddenly someone picked up the phone. Hello, this is Joaquin de Posada. How can I help you?
Did you freeze?
I was in shock. And since we were raised to be soft and not to bother, what did I say? Oh, Father of the Posada, did I bother you? Can I speak with your assistant? He told me with his Cuban accent, "Father, yeah, I don't have an assistant. If you don't talk to me, I don't know whom you're going to speak with." I organized myself and I told him, Dr. De Posada, I want to be an international speaker like you. I would love for us to have a 10-minute in-person conversation. And if you don't like what I have to say, you are, you know, free to stand up and leave. I won't be mad or sad. And he told me, that's fine. I'll fly to Puerto Rico from Miami next week and I'll meet with you.
Yeah, I remember he was quite impressive. I met him and he was doing some analysis. I believe it was at Channel 41 to see how people matched with the leaders and things like that. And I'll be honest with you, while I respect his work, I'm not one to say that I believe in any of those tests that come out, because I think they're very objective and subjective,
yeah,
if that's the right conclusion. Yeah.
But with his last book, the Don't Eat the Marshmallow Yet, it was very inspirational, and it was the great message about it was the self-gratification is killing us with the food, with buying the top car instead of like waiting and progressing. But the message with him is that I dare to ask, and we need to dare to ask. If it weren't because I asked, I wouldn't have had received the guidance of one of the the best Hispanic speaker around the world. So ask, 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 and ask.
I do. I always ask. Asking has led me to even secure scholarships here during a podcast. So I always ask, and it's always with good intention. I want to thank Frances Rios for her time today and joining this podcast, which inspires, you know, both men and women, women and men entrepreneurs. And, you know, always a pleasure to connect with you. We hope to connect again to promote your March event, if you'll come back and be our guest again.
Beautiful. And please follow me, and for your audience, send me notes, ask me questions. In my social media, I'm under Frances Rios Money. So go ahead, feel free to ask.
Thank you so much, Frances. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.